You would please, as we all stand for the reading of God's Word, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, if you would with me. Proverbs in chapter 6. Okay. We are going to be in all over the Bible, but I wanted to start Proverbs 6, if you would, verse 16. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you and praise you for all the blessing it is to glorify your name in all we do. We do thank you, Lord, for just the songwriters over the years that gave us some spiritual songs that bring joy to the heart and the soul. I pray that you'll help us now as we strive to study thy word. Give me the words to say and help me in how to say them, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you folks have a pen and a piece of paper, I keep hearing people, I've had this ask, and I do appreciate you wanting to hear the messages. If you're not here, some ladies are in the nursery. I've had ladies, a couple ladies over the years say, could you put a speaker in there? And I thought, yeah, I have it wired for a speaker. I mean, there's wires back there. We could put a speaker in there and put one with volume control. The only problem with that is, I don't know if you've noticed this, when a kid speaks and another kid starts to speak, the first kid gets louder. Then the second gets louder. So I just thought, if you put that in there, they'll be competing with my voice. And you guys keep turning that up so you can hear it and the kids. Plus, I think the nursery time should be watching the children. But that's the reason why you should take your turn in the nursery, ladies. If you have not been in the nursery helping out, you need to help out. Go up to Jenna and say, I'll help. Start with one a month. That will relieve one lady from one time they have to be in there a month that they could be out here, and you can miss one service a month. But anyways, here is our website number. So if you ever want to listen to a sermon, Zach tried to load them up ASAP, and he's got them in clumps and stuff like that. But if you need to know anything about that, I know nothing about it other than I hate computers. But here it is. It's squim-cbt.com. Pretty simple. squim-cbt.com. All lowercase. There you go. So if you want to hear a sermon, if it's not on there, you can't find it, ask him and he could either upload it, put a feature tape. I need to work on that thing. And so he said you need a front page. Whatever a front page is, I have no idea. So you're talking to a dummy. The title of my message, I was looking and searching, trying to find out a title that would match what I want to say, what I want to preach. I like catchy titles, then you remember. Seven Dunks in Muddy Water. Naaman, you remember? Ducks in Muddy Water. Anybody can remember that one, But anyways, so tonight's message has one word. Plague. Plague. You know what, when you hear that word, that's not a good word. There's not much you have to talk about after you say that. You don't have to explain it. Plague. You just hear the word plague and everybody goes, ding! like when a kid throws a baseball through a window. He may be the only kid left on the ballpark. Everybody else is gone, amen? You hear the word plague. Let me set the scene. I think we have the best church in the world. I love our church. I think we have great atmosphere in the services as well as in the fellowship. I think we're one of the most forgiving, giving churches I've ever met. I have never met a church with a pastor and a people that put their arms around someone that has blown it. And don't expect them to live that blown life the rest of their lives. I love that. I love also that we're a church that doesn't put up with stupidity. And when someone blows it, we'll smack them upside the head. Your pastor has smacked a few upside his head.
Amen. And not only am I preaching, I have physically smacked a few people upside the head. But on the same hand, on the other side is a heart and a life that says, you're still welcome. I was talking to someone's family member that one of their families made a mistake, member of the church, and I looked at him and I says, tell them there's no shame here. There's forgiveness here, not shame. We're not ashamed of them. So because I tell you, when you blow it, that's the first thing in your mind. They're going to be talking about me. They're going to shame me. I'm going to feel shame, ashamed. They ought to feel ashamed, but not to us. They didn't break our law. They broke God's. Our law is to love them, forbearing, forgiving. Amen? Now, with that in mind, we have been doing some great, seeing some great things happen. Our attendance is not going, but it's getting steady. It's steadily growing, and we have in Sunday evening just about the same as Sunday morning. That's exciting. Most churches you go to, they may run 400, 500,000 Sunday morning, but Sunday night is like 10%. Wednesday night is horrible. Most churches are giving up a Wednesday night service. They're going to what they call cottage services, to where they have little Bible studies at different families. You know, what it ends up being is cliques or cliques. You know, I like Joe, so I'm going to go to Joe's Bible study. I don't like Jim, so Jim's stuck. I'm not going. I picked Joe and Jim because I don't think there's a Joe and Jim here. But with that, we've been doing great. We have seen God working in people's lives. We've seen a few saved, people joining the church. It's been exciting. But you know what comes next? Problems. Someone robbing my house. Someone taking my credit card. Health problems. Amen? Problems inside the church with things that we have to do just to take care of. Marital problems. People come up, Pastor, my husband and I are not getting along. I says, what's new? I'm married too. The only thing that keeps my wife and I together is God. Amen? Because the flesh, we would have killed each other by now. The only question have been was, who would have killed who first? And don't you say it. You were thinking it, weren't you, Brenda? but what I'm trying to say is problems come. That's just normal. We've been here 22 years. In 22 years, we have seen this cycle. But there's something that keeps coming every time, and it breaks your preacher's heart. The plague hits. I try everything I can to keep from it. I preach on it. I'm preaching on it now because I want to stop the plague before it gets out. Some of you have gone to the post office and seen some time. I don't think they do it as much. The 10 most wanted lists. FBI has them, and they have people up there, and Keith, you're no longer there. You're down to number 11. So they took you off the list. So you're okay. You're okay now. Nobody's... He goes, how did I get thrown in this message? Oh, the plague. That's all it takes. I said that. It does not matter why, where, or what. It is the very word that brings caution, fear, and even an epidemic of responses. The Word of God speaks of a plague that can erupt and spread quicker than any good that can come out of man. According to our text, it is the Lord's most hated. A combination of symptoms that identify this hideous disease. It involves the eyes, hands, feet, tongue, and even our motives, our heart, and our actions. What single sin can God deem as so corrupt, so evil, so destructive? Is it murder? Is it child molestation? Is it adultery? Is it sodomy? How about abortion, thievery, or anything? Lying? No, what is it? The single most destructive thing that God calls an abomination is gossip. Listen to the Bible and see if I'm right. What do you say? There are seven that are an abomination unto the Lord. Listen to this. the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. One of the offenses is talking about people. Did you hear? Oh, I just want to let you know so you can be safe. Oh, me? Number two, it boasts not. Let's don't boast. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What was that? With no wood, there's no fire. Let's all add to the flame, amen? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Listen, we need to not boast. Boast not. Let's don't be a boastful tongue. We talked about proud things. But also, don't defile yourself. Amen? It talks about this. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth the fire of the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Listen, let's don't be that kind of person. Amen? Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says in the Bible. It says, therefore, verse 9, bless we God, even our Father, the Father, and therefore we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or so to be. Amen? He's saying you're praising God with songs and you're cursing and talking about your brother and sister in Christ. That makes no sense. He said it shouldn't come out of the same fountain. It shouldn't come out of the same mouth. Let's don't defile our bodies by having a loose tongue. Number three, and we'll close. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Brethren, verse 1, if any man be overtaken of a fault, ye which are spiritual, let everybody know about it. Doesn't say that? Tear him down and make him feel bad. Doesn't say that? Restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, consider thyself lest thou also be tempted. Wow. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? Bible says, if thy brother offend you, go to him and him alone. And if he repent, thou hast gained thy brother. What does that word gain mean? Restore thy brother. Wow. That's not how we think when someone does something wrong. Isn't that sad? Got three things here on consider thyself. We already know Keith has, because he's admitted it. How many of us have sinned? Would you slip a hand up? I want you to look around. Look at all these sinners. Can you believe they're even coming to church? How dare us, when someone gets overtaken of fault, gossip about that person? I wouldn't want them gossiping about me. I've had that before. Oh, it hurts. Especially after 20, 30 years. I still have a lady back in Missouri who remembers a sin I did 36 years ago. Not to her. Nothing to do with her. But she heard about it through gossip. And 36 years later, she goes, I still can't believe God would use you. I said, well, he used Paul. I didn't murder Christians. Yeah. Amen. That's sad? That's not the way we should be. He said, consider yourself three things about this. Number one, we should have restoration instead of revenge. Restoration. I don't know why people gossip. I really believe they have bitterness in their heart. And the interesting thing is, almost everybody that gossips, they committed the same sin. Remember in Romans chapter 2, it talks about that? How dare us judge another and would do us the same things? And a lot of times, that's what happens. They're guilty of the same thing. I was talking to someone the other day, I says, do you remember something similar happened to you years ago? I'm going to give you two situations here right now, and I'm going to show you the difference. Show you the biblical way and the unbiblical way. I'm going to use different names. People that are not here. They're not here. I hope. Is it Chad? Chad? Good. I'm not going to use Chad. I was going to use Chad's name, but you. I'm not going to use. I was going to use your name. No, go ahead. He goes, no, I won't. I'll use Barney and Wilma and Fred and Wilma. And that Barney and what's the lady's name? Betty. I can't use Betty. We have a Betty here. But she's not here. We can talk about her. Listen to me. Fred. We're going to use Fred and Wilma. Fred and Wilma had a problem because, listen to me, Fred committed adultery. Now, the only one that knew it was Fred, the woman he committed adultery to, and Wilma. He comes to the pastor and he asks for forgiveness. The pastor finds out through Wilma. So he goes and Fred asks for forgiveness. Wilma forgave him. He went to before the church and they prayed and asked God to forgive him. Restored. Barney committed adultery with Betty. Sorry, Betty. She's over there at the Saints Way going, thanks, preacher. But Betty called her best friend. Told her best friend, would you pray for me? My husband, I just found out my husband committed adultery. Of course, the best friend told her husband, who at prayer meeting decided to raise his hand and say, Pastor, we need to pray for Betty and Barney because Barney committed adultery and we need to pray for them because they need our prayers. Barney's reputation is destroyed. No matter where Barney goes, now it's throughout the whole community, he's an adulterer. Fred's an adulterer too. Following me? But nobody knows but three people. Four counting the pastor. Because Fred and Barney both made one mistake. One stupid thing, dumb, stupid, against God's word, should get their head smashed in. But because of the grace of God, he gave us a way of doing it the proper way. Both of them restored. Barney got restored too. He went forward and got forgiveness too. But now the wives are afraid of him. His wife don't trust him anymore. Wilma's already forgiven because she went through the scriptural way and grace gave her the... Amen? Her faith in God's way gave her grace to be able to handle that, and she never mentioned it again to Fred the rest of her life. But Betty always reminded Barney, had it looming over his head, and every decision he made was cut down by her with the threat, I'll let others know. You did it to me before, you're going to do it to me again. Oh, me? We need to consider ourselves. Let's don't seek revenge. Let's don't seek reputation tearing up. Amen? Let's seek restoration. Number two, meekness not meddled with. What did he say? In the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength in control. I know that you, Barney, has sinned. I know it. I have the power. I have your reputation in my hand. I can tear it up or I can help you build your life again. Meekness says I will not use that power. Why was Moses considered the most meekest man in the world? Moses could have, with a spoken word, wiped out every one of the children of Israel. But he showed strength. He says, no, Lord, don't. Am I right? Lord even said, I'll destroy them all and start with just your family again. I'll start all over. I started with Abraham, I'll start with your family. That's why the Lord said he is the most meekest man. Why? He was the most powerful man. You can't find another person in the Bible that did what Moses did, not even Elijah. Moses not only picked the plagues, he even asked God when to take them away. And the time. Isn't that neat? Oh, amazing. He was even lifting up a brazen serpent. Just look upon it and believe you'll be healed. Moses, boy, let's control. Let's don't meddle with problems. Amen? Let's don't meddle with it. Leave it alone. Especially if it has nothing to do with you, leave it alone. Why get involved with it? You don't need to know the newest juicy stuff. That's why I don't like these reality shows. That's why I don't like Facebook. They're just gossip centers. I know you keep in contact with your family. Well, limit it to your family. And if they start gossiping, say, stop that right now. I'm deleting that. I don't want to hear gossip. Eventually, you will be the only friend. You will have no more friends because you won't gossip. But that's okay. Save time and energy. Shut it down. Number three, we should care, not crucify. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh. Come on, guys, let's be honest. Some of you are bearing some burdens now for some past mistakes. Am I right? You made mistakes in life. Oh, you wish, you hope, pray nobody knows. Person sitting next to you doesn't know what you did. Am I right? You don't want to shake your head because anybody will start looking around and saying, who's shaking your head? So everybody at once, ready? Here we go. So we're all safe, amen? But I'm telling you, it's nice when someone comes up and says, I know where you're at and I'm behind you. I'm not here to crucify you. I know you blew it, but I'm here to stand with you. As your pastor, I've tried to stand by all of you. Don't you dare knock down my member. So they're a scum bucket. We'll fix them. With the Lord's work, amen? He'll fix them. Like I was telling someone once, you could have been something, you was something, but that doesn't mean you are. Don't make it a characteristic, make it a mistake. But let's don't take a mistake and crucify someone. Aren't you glad that Peter was restored? He denied the Lord 3 times and caused 7 other preachers to quit the ministry. But Jesus waited around a few more days to restore Peter. He could have crucified Peter. He even made him the pastor in his stead. Peter, have you checked the scriptures?
Never get involved with it. Oh, I have from time to time in my life opened my mouth and inserted my foot. I've had to go back and apologize to people for telling, let to bear that I bore some tells. I hope I conquer it. How about you? Maybe you're here today and has nothing to do with the message, but you are sitting out there and you're saying, preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I sure would like to know about Him. I'd like to know more. I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven. And you'd slip it. Nobody looking around, I promise, other than myself and the Lord, but you'd lift up your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not saved. If I die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know more. Would you slip up your hand quietly? No one looking but me and the Lord. I won't call on you, I promise. I won't send anybody to you. But could you slip up a hand? I'd like to mention in prayer. I won't mention your name, but I'd like to mention your prayer. God give you strength to make that decision. Anybody like that here at all? Christian, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But God spoke to you in a way tonight that you'd say, preacher, God got a hold of my heart. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that here tonight? God got a hold of my heart. Thank you, many hands. Oh, please, let us not justify this plague. Never. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. I thank you for our church. I love them. I love the people. I love what's going on. I'd like to see us continue in unity. We're heading that way, Lord. We're almost there. Thank you. Thank you and praise you for people that want to hear the Word of God. Thank you for new people coming, people inviting friends and family. praise you for that. I pray now that you'll help us as we go through this evening. Right now is what I'm concerned about. If you have dealt with hearts, may we not hear that, don't go. May we not hear that, you could do it later. But may we step out, be bold, come down an old-fashioned altar and get right with God. If we have aught with a brother or sister in Christ, may we take care of it tonight in a private way. Guide, Lord, in every way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'll stand.